This is 103.3 WZND's Bird's Eye View, here to give you a comprehensive look at the Bloomington Normal community's most important issues. Investigative reporting from the award-winning WZND News Team, here for you. Unbiased, engaging, and comprehensive. Bird's Eye View starts now.
Hello and welcome to the April edition of Bird's Eye View. In this month's episode, we're taking a look into the housing crisis in Bloomington Normal. We'll look at the current climate of the housing market, how the market is being handled by the local government, how it's changed over time, what the crisis looks like from the perspective of the construction companies, and homelessness in the area. I'm your Bird's Eye View producer, Colleen Holden.
I'm your co-host, Gavin Broderick.
I'm your co-host, Luke Biondi.
And I'm your last co-host, Ben Howell.
How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing great.
I'm doing pretty good. I'm excited to dive into this pressing issue.
I'm also great. The topic we have here is really dynamic and relevant right now on both a national and regional scale.
Glad to hear it. We have a great show coming up shortly, but before we begin, we need to take a quick break. You're listening to Bird's Eye View on 103.3 WZND.
This is WZND's Bird's Eye View.
Welcome back to Bird's Eye View. This month's topic is on the housing crisis in Bloomington Normal.
The housing market is constantly undergoing change. The local economy, employment, the option to rent, and many other factors exhibit their influence all at the same time.
Throughout the show, we are going to be talking about the housing market here in town. WZND's Braden Fogerson set the scene.
The home buyers of today are going into what is described nationally and locally as a seller's market. Along with this, the average age of the first-time home buyer is going up. Owner and managing broker of RE/MAX Rising, John Armstrong, says there are programs that allow someone to buy their first home with no money down. Those programs still exist.
But we're seeing first-time home buyers buy more expensive homes than they ever had before. Part of that is just because home prices have gone up. But we've also seen them going up in quality of house.
The catalyst to make way for a shortage of housing came from the uncertainty presented by the COVID-19 pandemic. At the local level, Bloomington Normal's two biggest employers in State Farm and Rivian created an influx of people looking to live nearby. But Armstrong says with the pandemic, sellers were afraid to let go of the property they had invested in.
Well, what that did was it drove home prices up because there weren't choices and there were five people bidding on every house. And mortgage interest rates dropped like to ridiculously low levels. I'm hearing of people who had 2.5% interest rates.
For most of his 28 years in real estate, a family planning to grow would have been prime candidates to move to a bigger house. This would leave room for others to move in where they left off and start their journey. Armstrong says because of today's interest rates, that family is now incentivized to stay rather than upsize.
So this could be an issue that our industry is battling for, you know, potentially 30 years. While mortgage interest rates, you know, many people get 30-year rates. Those people with 30-year rates at 2.5%, hard to tell them to sell.
Armstrong doesn't deal in apartments, but from talking with those in the industry, renting is not a much better option.
Since 2020, we've seen about a 30% increase in home prices. We've seen about a 50% increase in rent prices.
If creating affordable housing is the goal, Armstrong says you won't get it starting from scratch. But there are other options. Say if you took a building that was built for industrial use and turned it into 20 condominiums.
That's going to be cheaper than actually having to build that structure from the ground up. So if you already have the shell and all you're doing is putting walls in and finishing out plumbing, electrical, and it's going to be cheaper.
Armstrong adds that if interest rates can be corrected, the problem is lessened. Until that happens, neighboring towns like Pontiac and Lincoln may be the best option for new workers in Bloomington. For Bird's Eye View, I'm Braden Fogerson.
Whether you're a renter, a homeowner, or a property manager, one thing is certain. Bloomington Normal has a shortage of affordable housing. As Braden just talked about, the price of housing has increased drastically over the past few years.
When the housing market cannot stimulate itself, citizens often look for local government to step in and help remedy the issues. WZND's John Rosny sat down with some of Bloomington Normal's local elected officials to elaborate on their efforts.
So, we know the affordable housing shortage is, well, a shortage. That means we just need to increase the supply and build more homes, right? Well, it's not quite that simple of a problem. With many different variables at play, even at the local level here in Bloomington Normal, the housing crunch is, how would you say?
You know, this is a three-legged stool, if you will.
That was Mayor Chris Coos of Normal, and his comparison to a seat with an odd number of legs highlights how unique the housing crunch issue is for the community.
So you've got issues of shortage of housing, and you've got high interest rates, which are slowing down the market. And third, you've got a labor shortage for home builders in the community. So those three things are all happening at the same time.
This unique blend of factors has encouraged communities like Normal to utilize various methods to solve the housing problem, such as working directly with developers.
What we're trying to do is work with the private sector to get housing moving.
Usually, these incentives are in the form of desirable prices for developers on land the town already owns, or incentivizing the construction of multifamily housing, though the town does realize it needs to think outside the box to solve these new issues.
We need to figure out new ways of incentives are what's needed to make these housing projects go forward.
One novel way to move these projects forward, the town has begun working with the state on an interest rate buy-down. The town, with the help of state grants, would help subsidize developers to a lower interest rate, which helps developers lower overall costs.
That makes projects that are stalled sometimes more viable.
Bloomington also faces a similar housing constraint. While increasing supply remains the name of the game, addressing policies can help to encourage new units in town. Jenna Kearns of the Bloomington City Council highlighted for us just a few of the issues related with old standing policies like parking minimums.
That drives up costs of your project. It drives up your ability to even engage in that project.
The city council in Bloomington voted late last month on relaxing parking minimums, though the city realizes that amending policies alone won't solve all their housing issues. Through a combination of updating policies and continuing construction, areas like Bloomington Normal can continue to chip away at this housing shortage.
I hope that the city is open to pursuing other avenues along that line of changing ordinances or changing zoning requirements that would allow for more housing. And it doesn't have to be these big projects. You know, incremental housing can also work and make a dent.
For Bird's Eye View, I'm John Rosny.
By speaking to both an official from Bloomington and Normal, John was able to take a broader look here at a politician's perspective of the housing market. While Bloomington and Normal are separated on many issues, it seems that the town and city councils each understand their need to address housing insecurity.
There's still plenty more to talk about today. You're listening to Bird's Eye View on 103.3 WZND.
News now on 103.3 WZND.
Welcome back to Bird's Eye View. This month's topic is on the housing crisis in Bloomington Normal.
It's no surprise to learn that the housing market has been in places of trouble before, and once again, Bloomington Normal is no exception to those trends. I sat down with Professor of Economics here at Illinois State University, George Waters, to discuss the historical account of the housing market.
One important aspect of examining the present is taking a step back to look at history. In terms of the housing market of Bloomington Normal, several factors have consistently influenced the area. Economics professor of Illinois State University George Waters spoke on the historical account surrounding the stability of the market.
Well, I don't have hard numbers on this, but I certainly know, you know, just from experience that it seemed like the housing market was not as tight, you know, maybe 20 years ago as it is now. And I think, you know, there's been a lot of development in downtown Normal, and, you know, there's more reasons to live in Normal now than there once were.
Like any developing area, Bloomington Normal has changed over time. The progression of the local economy, its three universities, and expansion of local businesses has caused more prospective homeowners to be attracted to the area. Waters explains how those trends lead to an increase in population.
But, you know, compared to, you know, nationwide, you know, the housing shortage in Bloomington Normal is fairly tame compared to some places, some coastal areas, you know, a lot of big cities, people living in RVs and Oakland and, you know, things like that. I think what we're seeing in Bloomington Normal is just minor, you know, kind of a pale reflection of what's happening nationwide.
While the area has seen similar trends to the national housing market, Waters describes Bloomington Normal as historically stable. The area has simultaneously provided housing and employment opportunities, two factors where other areas tend to struggle with either one or both at the same time.
if there's anything unique about it, it's how stable it is. You know, between the university and State Farm, there's, you know, a very stable employment, and you know, obviously the students are, you know, need housing. So I think it's relatively constant number of people that need housing in Bloomington Normal compared to other places.
Waters also discussed approaches taken by Bloomington Normal in the past and how those same approaches could be utilized in the future. Due to the area's geographic location, expansion outside its current borders is always possible.
And also the supply in Bloomington Normal, you know, you can always knock down another cornfield, you know, if you want to build some more houses. So they're not, you know, compared to, say, lakefront or oceanfront properties, you know, there's only so much beach to go around.
Nationally, the housing market is currently seeing a shortage of homes, with demand driving up prices. Bloomington Normal is seeing a similar trend, but not as extreme. Waters says that this has been the case before, where the area's stability and availability keep it from being on the deep end of the spectrum.
Again, I think Bloomington Normal is actually pretty tame by national standards. Again, it's, you know, the problems in Bloomington Normal are probably smaller than some other places in the country.
Waters also explains that due to the area's historically healthy housing market, those just within the bubble of Bloomington Normal may feel that the issue is worse than it is. However, he argues that while the area is seeing a shortage, it is not nearly as short as it could be when we look at the past.
You know, I think Illinois, both, you know, the Chicago area and, you know, central Illinois is, you know, housing-wise, you know, it feels like a shortage compared to the past. That's more of a reflection of how stable things have been for so long. There's parts of the country that have much bigger problems with housing than we do.
For Bird's Eye View, I'm Ben Howell. In our discussion, Waters also talked about local zoning laws, much like we already covered, that in the past, Bloomington Normal has been able to address the need for housing by expanding and changing the zoning of single-family housing to allow more homes.
As we've seen so far, there are many different moving pieces in the housing crisis. A commonly overlooked one is the people actually moving the pieces to keep up with the housing demand. WZND's Mikey Fornelli took a look at how the housing crisis is managed from a construction standpoint.
A pandemic creates jobs for nurses. A new school opens positions for teachers. No matter a positive or negative situation, opportunities for jobs come wrapped in all different kinds of paper. As we continue this discussion of the local housing crisis, one school of ISU students sees a wide open world.
There are countless construction opportunities, whether that be a commercial job, a heavy civil job, or a residential job.
That's Redbird Jr. David McBurdy, whose aspirations are fitting to our discussion.
Personally, I want to work in the residential space, and the opportunity to build homes for families really excites me, especially because of the shortages of houses for young people in the United States.
David represents one of many in ISU's construction management program who fill Turner Hall with their experience and knowledge. Professor Randy Jacobs calls it no accident.
Major construction management at ISU has an 800-hour internship required prior to graduation. Before they're allowed to enroll in the senior capstone course, they have to have 800 hours of internship experience completed, hopefully about 400 hours a summer in a particular field that they're interested in, whether it be residential, commercial, civil, multifamily, those kinds of things, so that you can think about all the different kind of career paths that they can kind of go into.
It's not just imagination, but genuine action in the industry.
Employers that hire our graduates, we call them industry partners, and we invite them to two career fairs for our program each year.
But how do you adapt curriculum for the issues facing the industry? Issues that entry-level hires need to be able to fix. Jacob says this includes analyzing the basics.
What are the likely suspects that are causing kind of the crunch that we're in right now? Is it cost of materials? Is it rising interest rate? A wide variety of classes that talk about those topics.
Perhaps most importantly, Jacobs highlights a labor shortage, one that new graduates not only need to recognize, but are being taught to properly supervise.
Many of our graduates are going to go into a supervisory role. They're not going to probably be carrying tools on a job site. So if there's a lack of labor, one of the things that they're going to see is, you know, that there's going to be a bit of a crunch or a bit of a pinch as far as when it comes to when they need to get that labor completed on a particular job, and that may be part of the slowdown that we're seeing now.
Jacobs also discussed the importance of teaching precautionary measures in construction, such as leadership, energy, engagement, and design, or LEED for short. McBurdy, like many students, is ready to take his knowledge and his experience into revolutionary resolutions for this crisis.
Construction firms can't rely on what has worked for them in the past 10 years. Instead, they have to find new ways to make high-quality homes and good locations for cheap. For example, there are firms that are now buying up former office spaces and high-rises and converting them into studio apartments.
As the housing crisis continues, the ISU program does not falter in their construction of capable and confident new hires. Reporting for WZND and the Bird's Eye View team, I'm Mikey Fornelli.
It was refreshing to hear how students in the construction field are adapting to the housing market. From curriculum to job prospects, they'll be ready to enter the field to best suit the needs of the market.
We've got so much more here on Bird's Eye View. You're listening to WCND.
News now on 103.3 WZND.
Welcome back to Bird's Eye View. This episode is all about the housing crisis here in Bloomington Normal. So far, we've talked about the state of the housing market, the poor state of affordable housing, construction projects, and the history of the housing market.
The issue of student housing at Illinois State is going to continue to grow alongside the rise in the university's enrollment. Most ISU students have many options to choose from when it comes to housing providers, with university and private sector options both being abundant. With aging and overcrowded dorms, University Housing Services is working to address this pressing issue.
Consistently, year after year, ISU has bragged about bringing in larger freshman classes. Although more students on a college campus also means more ideas, more registered student organizations, more conversations, and more learning, one major question arises. How is ISU housing all of these underclassmen in the dorms? Stacy Mimwabwe, the director of University Housing Services, shared how the larger classes pose more of a cooperative collaboration rather than an issue.
So I wouldn't necessarily say it poses as a problem because we have a conversation with our colleagues in enrollment management all the time about what the numbers that might be coming in and how we can be flexible. So I think it's more of a cooperation, collaboration with each other about that rather than a problem.
Milwambwe has been working at ISU for 27 years. As director, she has seen many changes in university housing services. Some have been made to accommodate for the increased student population and to make the most out of every space university housing has to offer.
Because of the great reputation of Illinois State University, we've had a high number of students attend, and so those spaces have been reconverted back to student spaces, student rooms. And then most recently, last year, I converted two double room types in Watterson to triple room types, and this was our first full year of doing that, and we will have triples next year.
ISU requires all of its students to live on campus for 2 years. After that, students are encouraged to live off campus and in apartments close by. As most college students transition into renting an apartment for the first time, they often don't know what to look for when reading the fine print of a lease. Mwaboy shared the resources ISU provides to make that transition easier for students.
The Dean of Students Office has a really great student attorney. Her name is Samantha Vasquez, and she will work with students to look at their leases and really explain to them what the fine print means.
Mwaboy said that ISU and University Housing offers these resources because it is very important for students to understand their lease before signing, especially when many are at a vulnerable time of being an adult, but not quite.
There are some leases out there that say, you know, we'll give you this big bad discount if you all sign together a four. But what that means is if one or two of you can't pay your money, then the other two are on the hook for it. I don't want anyone to feel as though, oh my goodness, what did I sign? And because you're an adult and you're 18, it's a legal binding, and it can be really hard to navigate that.
Whether it's having a bad roommate or stressing about rent, students won't remember what they took notes on in class if they can't come home comfortably. Mwaboy spoke about what University Housing Services does to make students' living situations as relaxed as possible when issues arise.
We've started to do this new thing called micro surveys, where we'll send a survey out, and it's a text to students to say, hey, how are you doing with your roommate right now? And one will say, great, wonderful. The other one's like, it's okay. And the other one's like, send help. Based on what people say, we will send a case manager or a hall staff member to that person to go, hey, you indicated you're having some concerns with the roommate. Because we know that can be stressful for students.
For Bird's Eye View, I'm Kaylee Sugimoto.
One of the keys to being a successful student is having a safe and stable place to live, and knowing the details of the housing market and what to look out for and avoid when searching for housing will always pay off.
So far, we've talked about how difficult it is for renters to afford housing, but what about the people who can't afford housing at all? I had the chance to talk about homelessness in Bloomington Normal. In 2022, the U.S. Census counted 327,000 homeless people in the United States. But that number is likely much lower than the reality, as they are usually more difficult to count. Since 2022, the number of homeless people in the United States has grown. Bloomington Normal is no exception. McLean County has an estimated 1,300 homeless people. That's a 160% increase from 2019. Matt Burgess is the CEO of Home Sweet Home Ministries. His organization has supported families and individuals struggling with homelessness for over 100 years. He talks about the issue of homelessness in Bloomington Normal.
We've seen the numbers continue to increase over the course of the couple of years since we were in really the teeth of the pandemic. So it's not a brand new dynamic, but it is a fairly recent development and complication within our housing situation.
Burgess points out that the issue of homelessness isn't that simple. Increased job growth in Bloomington Normal has been a highlight for years now. The town and city is growing. That's a good thing, right? Burgess explains how the increased job growth from a company like Rivian can affect the housing market and therefore homelessness.
A downward pressure effect in the market. What I mean by that is if somebody who's being well paid by Rivian is looking to buy a house and they can't find a house to buy, they're going to then rent temporarily instead, occupying a rental unit that somebody who might not be able to buy a house would otherwise seek.
We have talked enough about our housing crisis, but Burgess points out that the issue of homelessness isn't just a lack of housing. It is often a combination of many factors.
If you look at your own life, as I look at my own life, and I look at who do I have that I could lean on if I had a crisis, I think of my close family. I think of my close friends. I think of people who I know from my involvement in a local church, you know, people like that, that I have those types of supportive and encouraging relationships. What we see is that they do not have a network of support like that.
Something that's caught the eye of local media has been a homeless encampment in a vacant lot next to Home Sweet Home Ministries. The encampment is being supported by Eastview Christian Church and Home Sweet Home Ministries. The reason that this has gained attention is because it's gotten bigger in recent months. There are an estimated 35 people staying there every night. The issue of homelessness will not be fixed overnight, nor will it be fixed in the next few years. Despite the grim outlook, Burgess remains hopeful that things will improve.
I think we have a moment in time right now where in the next couple of years we can make significant progress because it has gotten so visible and on so many people's minds that there's more attention to it right now than at any time really in the last 15 years that I can think of.
For Bird's Eye View, I'm Gavin Broderick.
One of the reasons the topic of housing insecurity became relevant regionally was due to that rise in homelessness in Bloomington Normal. That visibility made it impossible to ignore compared to the past and brought it into public discourse.
As homelessness continues to dominate headlines countrywide, it is important to analyze the factors that lead to homelessness and consequences of homelessness in our local community. That's all we have for this episode of Bird's Eye View. In this episode, we looked at the current climate of the housing market, how the market is being handled by the local government, how the market has changed over time, what the crisis looks like from the perspective of the construction companies, and homelessness in the area. If you missed any part of today's show, you can head over to WZND.com to listen to the full show right after this. Thank you for listening to Bird's Eye View.
This has been WZND's Bird's Eye View. Catch more WZND in-depth news every Sunday at noon with WZND's Second Look and Bird's Eye View. For previous episodes, find Bird's Eye View on the podcast tab at WZND.com.